What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. And if you cannot find them on your podcast player, why don't you come check us out? The date is March 21st, 2023. This is show number 128. And this is Elijah. Hi.
Oh, hey. What's going on, man?
Tom.
What up, man?
This is the episode where we figure everything out.
Impossible.
And I do have to make an announcement. We're still missing Sean. We've had a little bit of an issue starting the GoFundMe for his bail money. What's up, Lisa? How you doing? And that's per usual. So, I mean, what do you...
Did you guys forget something?
Speaking of Sean.
Oh.
What's up?
Were we supposed to pick him up?
Well, technically, we were supposed to bail him out of jail 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
And we were going to start a GoFundMe, but they had a buy one, get one at the coffee shop. And then we took a nap. And then,
we don't talk about that.
Why do you still have handcuffs on?
It was a going away present.
What? Usually, I think the jumpsuit.
I love how he has the crossover.
The jumpsuit. The jumpsuit and the cuffs usually stay.
Yeah.
Did you get assigned to laundry duty?
No.
Work release? Were you cleaning the highway?
So I appreciate the half attempt. The guards told me you guys brought a cake that was half eaten, and the file and the crowbar were hanging out.
Well, I mean,
they did say it was delicious, though.
We got hungry.
I never got it. So
we got hungry.
We tried.
I had to get creative.
We tried. We wanted to hook you up in there.
It was good cake. It was healthy cake because I put a carrot in there, too.
Nice.
Half attempt. Wow.
They took my cornbread.
I did get a message from you. Apparently, they let you... They gave you a little time where you could use your phone. I don't know if that was when you were being arraigned or whatever, but I got a message from you that says, don't bail me out. I'm having the time of my life.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't you.
No.
The message I got said, best sleep I've had in years.
Oh.
No, yeah. I sent multiple messages, though, asking when you were coming to pick me up.
Oh, well, I got those. I didn't under... A new phone. It was a new phone.
New phone, who this?
I didn't know.
No hablo inglés?
I didn't know exactly. Here's the thing. We had a conversation about, you know, friendships are priceless. But bailing somebody out these days with the price of inflation is not priceless. There's a price to that.
I thought about it. I was going to do it. Because I bought a house.
Right.
I bought a 17-bedroom house with 12 bathrooms.
Right.
In the metaverse.
Correct.
I was going to put it up.
The metaverse.
I was going to put it up.
I love the diving board, by the way. That is sweet. And the slide?
Yes.
Wow.
But I enjoy living there.
Right.
When I close my eyes.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to give it up. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't want to give it up.
So listen, don't ask any questions about the van outside in the parking lot. That's going to be there for a little while.
Does it say?
Doesn't say anything. Don't worry about what it says.
DOC.
Can the church use it for camp and stuff?
Let me paint it first.
Okay.
And you can do whatever you like with it.
It'd be great for teens if it's got bars on the windows.
Just a couple.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for donating.
We were looking for a new van.
I will have to remove the shotgun rack from the front.
Is there a special partition there?
There is.
That's good for the pastor. You know, so you don't have to worry about stuff flying around.
Don't worry about the dog in the back. I left plenty of food, snacks in there. He'll be fine.
Cool. I appreciate that. Oh, there it is.
Oh, my.
Wow. There it is. Wow.
We were wondering.
First time ever.
First time. There it is.
We were wondering who was going to be the first one to make noise tonight. So, speaking of which, I'm going to share this episode because I want to. So, somebody talk about something.
Well, it's good to have you back, Sean. We actually found ourselves a fifth prodigal that will be filling in.
Did they let you listen to the prodigal son?
They did actually let me listen.
Did you listen?
Yeah, but they kept turning the volume down and then turning it up, so I didn't catch the whole of it. My bunkmate kept teching my iPod. So
you had an iPod?
Yeah,
in there?
How do you have an iPod in jail?
Listen, don't ask. There's things you got to do to get by, all right?
Were they scared of you in there?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Question. When you left, how much money did you leave behind?
In the jail?
Yeah.
Well, I had about 22 cartons of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. How many soups?
Like two cases of ramen.
Chicken flavor, right?
A couple boxes of Doritos.
Nobody likes beef flavor. That's a ridiculous question.
And about six bricks.
You of course, the bricks. There it is.
There it is. Of what? Cheese?
No, just bricks.
Gotcha. He got those out of the wall, though. Yeah. That's not currency.
That's how you got out.
I got them to give me a rock hammer because I thought I liked to polish rocks.
So, I'll tell you what, that is a fashionable jumpsuit.
It's multi-purpose. I mean, you can wear it anywhere.
Do you need a hacksaw?
I might. Later on, if we get a
hacksaw, yeah, we'll just stop by my house after the show.
We take those off. Yeah, that'd make life a lot easier.
Yeah, I heard they needed an extra cell because there was, I don't know, something about a storm coming, stormy.
I don't know. I think he knocked the wall down. I think he knocked the wall down.
They just walked out.
They let me out for good behavior.
Expanded his cell. I think he knocked the wall down. Kicked the people out next door.
He's like, anybody using this? Just gonna see. I could actually see him in jail, just like redecorating. I'm gonna live here for a while. Okay. Don't tell me when my arraignment is. Don't tell me whether if somebody comes to. I'm staying. Okay. I'm staying.
I live here now. This is my house. You follow my
hang
house.
On a second. Hang on. Hey. You telling me I get fed 3 times a day?
Nobody bugs me.
And I can't have visitors?
I don't have to share. Well, I have my own toilet in my room, but.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to share.
Oh, speaking of toilets. We touched on this a couple weeks ago, but it's worth bringing it back. Had to, as happens like once a year. Jumpsuit makes a lot of noise, right?
It does make a lot of noise. It doesn't come off really, though.
As it happens once a year.
Pull that?
I'm so scared. You don't want to get your DNA on that. Let's do the forensic test.
That's good. Thank you.
All bathrooms were occupied in my house. I had to use my kids' bathroom.
Oh, you say you never go in there.
I never do. It was like, you know the horror music that plays in the background? Exactly. That's... Dinner. Kids' bathroom.
How was it?
It was awful.
Yeah.
It's weird stains in the toilet.
Yeah.
Toothpaste on the mirror.
Toothpaste everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere there's toothpaste. Mm-hmm. There's just toilet paper all over the floor.
Yeah.
These kids are animals.
Yeah.
Animals.
Yeah.
How was camp?
Camp was amazing. I was actually blessed for them to ask for me to be a guest speaker there. And it was the first time that I have ever preached on a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning.
You were great on Sunday.
And I heard all about that. I listened to her sermon. Her sermon was really good.
Claire filled in at the church. She was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny about that, not to cut you off? Like, I sent you a message.
I know. I thought you copied it off him when I got it later.
They sent it at the same time.
Are you serious? Yeah.
I was upstairs. I sent him a message. I said, Claire's killing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know you sent it.
It was the same time I did it.
It came through at the same time.
That's funny. I didn't even see his.
No.
No, because I sent it directly.
It was the first time.
It was a text message.
It was one of the rare times I've not seen Elijah sleep in church.
Wow.
Hey, that's because I went upstairs.
Gotcha.
Wow. But no, it was really cool, man. I talked about being plugged into Jesus, and what was really cool and very emotional was on that Sunday morning at the end, we had 25 kids come to Christ, and then after that happened, I did the whole, listen, everyone always feels that this part of the service is just for salvation, and then we had another 10 to 15 kids rededicate themselves to Christ. And it was really cool because I told them all to close their eyes, and everyone closed their eyes. And I'm like, well, not the counselors. You guys got to keep your eyes open to see who raises their hands and stuff. But it was really cool, man, being able to be part of shaping and pouring into these teens that actually preteens that are getting ready to go to that teen stage. And that teen stage is the one that's the most influenced, right? A lot happens during that time. And it was really cool to be able to pour into them. And not just during the sermon, but just, you know, discipling them outside of the chapel and hanging out with them and talking to them. And man, when they were worshiping too, you can just tell that they were worshiping. I try to establish that day one, that this isn't just singing songs, this is worship, and I kind of went into what exactly it is. And it was really cool, man. I had a blast. I was blessed to be there. And I'm looking forward to, you know, if they ask me to do it again, I'm looking forward to it. It was really fun.
Cool. And you had kids too, right?
Yeah, we had 7 kids. Cool. Yeah.
How did Pulley do?
Pulley was a rock star. He was born to do this.
I saw him.
I don't know if he's watching, but he was literally born to do this. Even we had this one part of the teen retreat where the kids had to come up with a skit. So they gave him props, and they had to use the prop to come up with a skit of a Bible study. And I put Chris on by himself with the kids. And the one lady came up to me, and they're like, "Is he from your church?" I said, "Yeah." And she was like, "He's so good at this." It was like he was in his natural habitat. It was just so perfect for him.
I was a little worried for him Saturday morning when I saw him. He looked a little tired.
Yeah.
He looked like it was going to be a long day. But well, it looked good.
That first night is when the kids don't go to bed till 3 a.m. because they're not tired. So they're just, you know. After that, they're tired from all day.
I've never done a weekend retreat like that, but that's got to be funny that it's like the first night. They don't sleep, and then the second night's the last night.
The crazy thing is that there was these six kids that were stranded because their counselor decided not to show up.
This is not my fault.
Decided not to show up, and then I was questioned about it. They're like, "Where's Dave Duncan at?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. Like, he's supposed to be here. We have six kids that he's supposed to be counseling."
Apparently, and, this is true.
He showed up the day after. I guess he missed the starting date.
No, so they did. They did tell me that they had kids for me, but I never signed up to go. And I actually asked. I said, "Do you need extra help? I'll go if you need help." And they were like, "No, we got this."
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, I think the confusion came when he spoke to somebody, and they said we have enough to cover the Roy's for kids. But there was other kids that needed to be, they needed a counselor.
Well, they didn't get one.
I did find out that Dave made an impression on a lot of these kids because they were asking for him. Like, "Is Mr. Dave's going to be here?" I'm like, "Nah, he's
that's
not
going
to be here."
Actually,
so they were actually excited to see you the next day, man.
Looking forward to going in the summertime. Actually, we got Tom knows this. I don't think Elijah and Sean do. Lisa and I had the night off from parenting, and instead of going out,
you told me.
Yeah, instead of going out Saturday morning for like a nice breakfast and sleeping in, we drove out to the camp to say hi to the kid.
That's because you had an obligation to fulfill. You left six kids stranded, dude. Like, I mean,
no, I wasn't worried about that. I just wanted to get Thomas coffee.
Oh, okay.
But the anyway, we have people trying to break the door down to be in the audience. I don't know, but they wanted to be a live studio audience.
Should I answer the door?
No.
They're going. I don't know who it was. We'll
go out the window.
Did you actually see who it was?
I saw a badge and like
a flashlight.
A flashlight and a badge. Although you know what, I would have paid a lot of money to see. I would have paid a lot of money to see Sean get pulled over. While he has one handcuff on.
You know what the worst part is? So I put it on before I came, right? I'm driving here. And in my head, I put gas in the car the other night. I had to stop at Turkey Hill and get gas. The kid in the gas
station. Oh, there he is. And it's nowhere Halloween. We're not near Halloween right now.
And so I had a hoodie on over the, like, so now I'm trying to hide the jumpsuit. I got a hoodie on.
No, because with the orange pants, it could look like you're an electrical lineman or something, probably.
Oh, no, this kid definitely thought I just busted out of jail. Now, luckily, I didn't have the handcuffs on when I walked in to get gas, but I definitely, he was like, can I help you? I'm like, "Yeah, can I get 10 on 4? He's like, "No, you don't have to put any money in.
Just don't hurt me.
Just go. It's open. Just fill it up. Just get out of here."
I was in Jersey today, and you're talking about gas. I had to stop and get gas. How come they can't pump their own gas in Jersey?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I asked the attendant. I actually said, when is this silliness gonna end? He goes, "The people around here can't figure it out. Nobody knows how to pump gas. It'd be like a 50-year transition."
Is that what they said to you?
That's what he said. He said nobody's gonna be able to figure it out, so we're never gonna do that.
Wow.
Back to camp real quick. So did you guys do like any fun activities, or did you do the zip line, all that stuff, or is that just summertime activities?
So there is a video. I forgot to send it. So
did you play kickball?
I did the we played kickball, but we played kickball. The kickball story. That's what.
What happened? Did something happen during kickball?
Man. So you know, I've always.
Oh God! Just
I've always enjoyed kickball, right?
Yeah.
So they did guys versus girls, right? And the girls were kicking first, and we were playing defense. And I walked up, you know, and. You know, they kept getting on base, and then Crystal came up and just crushed the ball, just crushed it. All right, so finally it was our turn to come up, and we had two outs.
You had like your big league,
and I kept telling the two kids in front of me, I'm like, "Just get on base, just get on base. Make sure that I get on so I can kick and get us some runs."
Bryce Harper over here,
Charlie Brown.
Yo, man, I start running. I take a swing with my foot, and the ball goes, and it would have been a foul ball, but superhero Allison Duncan just ran and caught it. And every single kid on my team was so mad at me. They're like, you ruined it. You don't even know how to play kickball. They were literally so mad. Like, they were angry. All the girls were yelling. And saying,
I thought
they were so mad.
I thought for a second that Allison was exaggerating.
Oh, no. It literally...
I thought Allison was exaggerating when she was like, I ran and I caught this thing, and everybody was like laughing at Tom.
She had no business catching that.
Why?
Like, I looked at her and I started doing the math in my head. I'm like, there's no way she gets there. It's a foul ball. I'll get another chance. Oh, she got there.
That should be part of your sermon on Sunday.
She got there.
I thought
she
caught it. I thought Allison was exaggerating until the next day, somebody who wasn't even at camp came up to me and go, I heard Allison made a good catch. I was like, it was somebody who didn't even go to camp. There's somebody who didn't even. She was like a 70-year-old lady who didn't even go to camp. Came up to me and goes, I heard Allison.
Listen,
had a great catch.
This is no exaggeration. If it would have been caught on video, it would have been on ESPN's top 10. That's how good of a catch it was.
Well, we got to find it.
I mean, there's no video or evidence.
He made sure it was all destroyed. Somebody saw it.
Yeah, like you never know where cameras are going to be.
I'll tell you what, your daughter's fast. She can run.
She's played softball for a few
years. That's what she says. She goes, I play softball, and I'm like,
she's a little snooty about it.
Yeah.
But this year she didn't want to play softball.
Until that catch,
and then she saw her little sister go to practice for the first time. And she started getting all like antsy watching the practice of her little sister. And then the next morning,
it was so good. But it's not even that the catch was good. These kids were so mad at me.
Good. I mean, really?
So mad. They were mad to begin with because we had to do all this other stuff. So we only got 5 minutes of kickball. And then I just ended it like that.
Everybody stepped on the court.
Wait, so you ruined it?
They got one chance at bat, and Tom just messed it up.
And at that age, you have to beat the girls. You know, the girls want to beat the boys, and the boys cannot lose.
They were like the girl.
Flip.
That's twice.
You know, that's.
Do you want to turn the ringer off?
Slide the button. Push the button. Slide the button.
That's him?
Yeah.
I went to Philly today. We went to Philly.
Did you leave a message?
No. Yeah, I said.
We'll talk later. Yeah. Sorry.
Lisa and I went to Philly today. We had a nice day.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate on that?
I was hoping you'd ask some questions to lead into.
So what did you guys do? Why did you go to Philly?
It's interesting because Lisa, I'm so glad you asked.
I can't stay
here. I'm so glad you asked. Lisa needed to go in because she goes to Jefferson online, and she had to go in and do some. Every once in a while, she has to go in, and she just begged me to drive her because she doesn't want to drive in Philly. And I don't blame her.
Yeah, I don't blame her either.
So we went in, and then we went to we walked to lunch, and we walked around. I took my top off, and we went home.
You took your shirt off?
I took the top off, yeah.
Wow. This guy was this guy over here.
You
took that Jeep?
Took the Jeep.
I know you did it.
That must have been who was doing donuts in the parking lot at Montgomery County Prison this morning.
It's possible.
Waving a laugh and throwing coffee through.
It was like 60 degrees. We're walking back to where I parked, and like, I think it's warm enough to take the top off. And she's like,
it was nice today.
She's like, oh, you think that? And I was like, oh yeah, I think it's definitely warm enough. It wasn't. It was cold. Real cold. Real windy. All the way home.
What car did you take?
The little one?
The Jeep.
You didn't take the Jeep.
You had the top off?
Took the Jeep. I thought the Jeep wasn't inspected.
No, it's inspected. No.
Why would you say that on air?
Well, I mean, of all the crimes at this table, I think the guy with the jumpsuit is.
I mean.
Why are you pointing at me?
There's that.
That's important.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's campaign finance crimes going on. I mean,
I didn't know the Jeep was able to make it to Philly.
Oh, it can now. It can now. It's inspected now.
Okay.
It's ready to go.
All right.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It'll be fine. It probably won't break. It'll be okay.
He's got AAA.
It's fine. I don't.
Why don't you have AAA? I think AAA is the best investment ever.
I used to have AAA.
I love AAA.
I don't anymore. Because
I drive with the truck and the trailer all the time, and they won't pick that up. So
really,
yeah. So I gave it up. It's like non-commercial use only.
So. Oh, so forget the family. Just as long as you can be covered with the business.
Well, the thing is, I have Elijah's credit card. So if I break down, I'll just use that.
Nice.
Not to worry about it.
I love AAA.
Hey,
Sean doesn't have AAA. We found that out the hard way.
My keys wouldn't work. That was awesome. My locks broke.
But he had a brick.
Pretty much.
I wish I had a brick that day.
I'll never forget that day.
Stuck in the beach.
Oh, stuck at the beach.
Man.
It was a long day. Dude, we were all tired.
I forgot about that.
And it was like an evening, so we couldn't get a locksmith there. It was like...
At the beach?
At the beach.
Dude, I drove to Delaware, Rehoboth. I was all the way out there. And... I came home, me and the kids, we came home, KJ's tired, Elijah's tired, we go to get in, and I'm like, oh, man. He's like, what? I'm like, I left my keys on the table. What table? The table in Rehoboth. So we had to get like
no one's fixed that clock.
Somebody from the complex. You know how
the maintenance guy
always has it. He's like, I take cash only. If you don't have cash, I'm not going to let you in. I'm like, dude, you're 90. What I'm thinking is not right, but I can get the key from you if I wanted to. So I'm going to be nice.
What would you do? Would you fight him?
Huh?
Would you fight him?
It wouldn't have been a fight.
Okay.
Plus, there was no cameras there, so.
You don't want to do that. Do you guys hear about Newark and their outreach program, Newark, New Jersey?
No.
You ever gone to a city and you see a sign that says this city is twinned or sistered with another city?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means?
Like the twin boroughs?
Yeah, kind of. But also there's internationally they do that where like a certain town will be sistered with like a foreign city. Where diplomats and things will go from one city to the other, and they'll kind of have like a ceremony, and they'll do different outreach programs to different countries. You ever hear that, or is that? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a newer thing, but Newark, New Jersey officials in Newark, New Jersey were thrilled to partner with the Hindu nation of the United States of Kalesa. They hosted delegates from the country at a formal ceremony in January. And they had officials come from that city and they did several photo shoots and they did a formal dinner and all that stuff. And it was a nice little way to reach out to a culture that's not your own. One problem, the city doesn't exist.
Very nice.
Yeah.
It was founded by a prince of Nigeria?
The Kalesia does not exist. This was an overseas scam where they contacted Newark, New Jersey and tried to get involved with them to get some outreach money and some donations. Officials in Newark say no money changed hands. I'm sure that's true.
Chris Christie style?
Yeah, exactly. That didn't happen. So that was funny.
That was funny.
I wanted to make fun of New Jersey. It's the only story I could find.
I just think is Newark is I can't, oh that's right.
You ever been to Newark?
I have. I've been through Newark. Interesting place.
It's a nice place to visit. Like you should go there once and then wonder about your life choices that brought you there.
Yeah, you know, I've been to Newark lots of times because I used to be a limousine driver and I always had to go to Newark Airport and I would always show up early so I'd have to wait and
nefarious.
It's a little scary. It's a little scary.
My brother used to live there.
Yeah.
Did he? Yeah. Which one, Ben?
Yeah. My little brother, Ben.
Wow.
He used to live there, so don't say anything mean. He used to work in the schools there.
It's funny because my daughter went to Jersey a couple months ago, and it was right outside of Newark, but she found a really cheap hotel in Newark that she stayed at. And, you know, when you hear Newark is like people know Newark, New Jersey, but yeah. She didn't exactly know Newark, New Jersey. So she called me, and she goes, I'm a little scared. I'm like, where are you? She goes, Newark. I'm like, why are you in Newark? Yeah. She goes, I don't know. I thought it'd be nice.
Why? What would make you think that?
Well, the only thing that would make you want to stay in Newark is if you look at the prices to stay in New York.
Yeah. Well, maybe
that's exactly what it was. It was a trip to New York. Oh, I stayed in Newark.
I can get a 6-bedroom Airbnb for $39 a night. That's fantastic.
I just got to share it with 67 roaches. What?
No, it's just the wildlife.
Gotcha, John.
We got pigeons. There's plenty of wildlife to look at.
I do want to go back to my wife, Claire, her preaching. If you haven't watched it, you really should, especially going into Easter, because she touches on a lot of things that people aren't aware of, how important it was and the significance of the pouring of the pure nard on Jesus and what it did to him as far as he was getting ready to get sacrificed. There's just so many different aspects of that story that she touched on, and I think that a lot of people don't really understand how deep that passage really is. And going into Easter, I think it's important to understand the significance of that. So I just wanted to plug it in because, my wife is very humble, and she always watches me to watch her sermons when I'm not there. And I watched it, and I thought it was spectacular. It was so educational. You know, sometimes you have sermons that convict you. Sometimes you have sermons that just you're just like, wow, I didn't know that. You know, hers was that. And it's funny because she's so humble that she's like, I didn't end it right. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that you didn't end it right? She's like, well, you know, I didn't really give a conviction. And I'm like, you don't always have to have a conviction. You are. It was so educational. So seriously, that's three times. Just what is? I am so confused.
Oh my God, I don't know, guys. Today, I'm sorry. I have no idea what is going on.
We're gonna have to ask you to leave the show.
Chris, can you get down here quick?
Chris Pooley, are you watching?
Chris, leave your phone, leave your watch, get down here.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. But it was really good. I'm not just saying this because she's my wife. She touched on so much that, and it's the kind of thing that when you go back and read that passage after listening to the sermon, you're gonna be like, wow.
There was several times during that sermon that I went, oh my, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know, and that's.
Her sermon was the type of sermon opposite of Tom, her husband.
Yeah,
because
your eyes didn't look droopy at all.
Because here's the
on
thing
on Sunday.
Here's
I don't
the
know
thing when she was like different. She was like, oh man, look at the time, I'm almost done. When Tom's up there, we're like, Jesus Christ, come on, hurry up. But with Claire, it was like I didn't care what time it was.
Keep going.
My last two sermons were not your Nazarene typical sermons. They were like almost an hour long. But there was a lot of stuff I had to talk about.
I forgot about it. But Claire's, I didn't forget. It was awesome.
Should I throw a jumpsuit back on and run over to her Bible study to tell her how good a job she did with the cuffs?
Oh my
stuff?
God,
that would be so funny. We'd have to.
You should
file.
Just run through. You shouldn't just say anything. Like, just run through the room. Just,
when we're done,
I wasn't here.
When they're done, oh, can we do that? As soon as we're done,
yeah, it'll be the Spanish class there at that point. But because
you just run through, and be like, cállate, cállate.
What time is it? I keep getting confused with that. It's 7:20, right?
Yeah. Have you ever met the Woodleys?
Look at your watch.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say if you haven't met them, you could like knock on their door and be like, I need a place to hide out. Can I hide here for a while?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
They don't recognize me, though. That'd be funny.
One of the kids answers the door. Where's your mom?
Just grab one of the kids, pick him up, and be like, you need to hide me now.
Like this. Away from me, mister. So, I don't know you.
Elijah, real quick, I wanted to ask you, do you think you could lead worship this Sunday?
I could try.
Where's this going?
Well, he sent us that video earlier about how he wants to start doing worship services.
Oh, yeah. Let me know so I can come to that service. I'd like to check that out, see how things work.
I mean,
out.
It's not what you'd call traditional, so we could advertise it as a non-traditional worship service.
Hey, incense burning happens all the time in church.
And you know, it's understanding God's...
Hey, Johnny G.
Vegetation.
Johnny G sounds like someone you met in the
joint. Don't worry about... Listen. I was turning hearts for Christ.
You guys shared a bologna sandwich and iced tea.
Oh, you nice. My bro.
Don't ask me how I know what the meal.
Shared are. A mustard packet.
Listen, I didn't have any ramen.
This is my
bad. I had no commissary. Johnny G hooked me up.
This is my.
Never mind. So is that a yes or a you'll think about it?
So you know what's interesting,
Pastor Tom, what do you think about this?
I think it's interesting because there's a lot of people out there and that believe that they can have a closer relationship as far when it comes to worship with the Holy Spirit when they're high on marijuana.
I did not know that.
There's a lot, there's a lot of people out there, and there's some.
So Elijah sent a video about nuns. Yeah.
Okay. One went to our men's retreat.
So Elijah sent a video about nuns, and there was a bunch of it was nuns growing, cultivating marijuana, smoking marijuana, and then having the coolest looking worship service anybody's ever seen. they seem to be thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, and it's mind blowing because
I'm sure they've grown it themselves.
When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't want to really fill yourself with anything else. It's always an outpour, but there's I've seen countless videos of people that actually talk about this where they're like,
didn't realize it was a thing.
If I smoke, I feel closer to Jesus.
I just saw that and I just thought it was. It wasn't something that I wanted to do, but I just thought it'd be funny to send to you guys. But I mean, interesting. I just thought it was interesting. That's all I'll say. It's interesting.
It was definitely interesting.
Definitely. Did you watch it?
I did. I had my.
You had it in the slammer. That's right.
Yeah. I have my tablet.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for loving the podcast.
We have a Bible verse tonight.
We do.
We're getting ready to like end the show, so we should probably get to the Bible.
So for the new listeners that we have, this is not your typical prodigal sons episode. This is one that we just kind of just relaxed, talked about whatever we wanted to talk about. Usually we talk for about 20 minutes and then we get into a discussion of a biblical topic. But I felt that
I've heard it both ways.
2 Corinthians 12:10. I can't believe, I guess because we hadn't read much. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, you might be saying, well, what does that have to do with anything if you guys didn't have a topic? Well, because in our weakness, as a group, it could have been easy for us to have been like, you know what? Why don't we just have a bye week? Why don't we just play another episode? We don't really have a topic today to talk about, and that's when the enemy really starts going, hey, man, don't do the show today. You guys don't even have a topic, But we decided that, you know what? We've been trusting the Lord this whole time. We can't even believe that we're on episode 128. We're shocked in the sense that we made it this far, and that's only through the grace of God. And we decided that we're like, you know what? Let's do the show. Let's see where the Holy Spirit takes it. If it's just a fellowship show of us talking about nothing, it's still good for the group, right? Because we tell you guys a lot. For us, it's not about the numbers. It's not about who's watching, although we do hope that you take something from the show and you're able to apply it to your life. But this is the way that we fellowship with each other. This is our accountability group right here. And for us to keep it constant of coming here on Tuesday evenings and doing a show, regardless of what the world looks like, my favorite verse in the whole Bible is, love the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, right? So this would have been very easy for us to, in our human understanding, to be like, guys, we have nothing to talk about. Let's really prepare for next week and do a really good show next week and then be off tonight. And we did it. And I got to be honest, I was proud of the guys that we didn't cancel, because if any show would have been canceled, this would have been the one, because we literally came here for the first time since we've been 128 episodes. This is the first episode that we came on air without a clue of what we were going to talk about.
That can't possibly be true.
Well, the other ones sound like we don't have a clue about what we're talking about. Well, we came with a topic.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's the difference.
That's what happens when we prepare for the show.
It's a nuance difference.
We have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. It's a nuance difference, but it's a difference.
Exactly.
Hey, can I tell you? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, that's why I picked this, because that last part of that verse, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's so monumental of our lives, and as long as in our weakness we lean on Christ, that's where we get our strength from.
Well, it's like it happens. You see that a lot in the gospel message, that blessed are the poor.
I was going to say that. Yep.
And blessed are the weak. And it's backwards. It really is backwards in the gospel. I'm excited. I don't think I've ever been this excited for Easter. for Easter messages. I've been diving into the Keller series. Tom knows because I've been sending him, and you guys too. I've been sending him to the group message. Tim Keller's sermons. He's doing a sermon. He did a sermon series about work, and then he's going into the work and the ways of God's kingdom, and then it goes into Easter message. And I listened to his first Easter message the other day, and I think Lisa's going to send it out to the group in a few minutes, I think, when we're done with the show. But I want to share a little bit of something that happened this week to me. And if you guys have anything else you want to throw in afterwards, that's fine. But this was probably the most impactful moment of my week. Actually, I know for sure it was the most impactful part of this week. But it was the first message on Easter called Watching for the Sun. And he's talking about how Jesus said, talks about his return and when he's going to come back and what the world will look like and what the... talks about a couple different interpretations of that. Really, really interesting stuff. It was like a 37-minute sermon, and it felt like I was listening for 3 hours. Not because it was boring or anything, but there was just so much content in 37 minutes. I can't tell you how many times I said, I never thought about it that way. And at the end, he talks about Jesus obviously leading a perfect life and dying the death that he didn't deserve. But he talks about how he took on, how he took on everything. And then his sermon kind of took a weird turn. And he said, and for this reason, Tim Keller said, Pastor Keller said, for this reason, you should never hold a grudge against anybody. You should always forgive. And I was like, how did he get that out of the Easter? And because it was like, if Jesus died that death that he didn't deserve, how much more do we deserve? How much more can we? He's like, you must always forgive, and you must. And then he quoted a psalm, and if I'm not making sense, great, just go listen to it. But he quotes the psalm where David says, he said, "Who can stand? Who can?" I'm losing it, but. You got it. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? That's it. Without any help from Tom, I came up with that all by myself. But if you, O Lord, kept a record of wrongs, who could stand? And it kind of just hit me right to the core about, even if you think self-righteously you lead a good life and you make good moral decisions, who could stand? And I was... in Pastor Kerry's, Pastor Powell's church a couple weeks ago. And he said, David, who wrote all these Psalms and did all these things that we look at him as a hero. If you'd have asked David, would you end up committing adultery, basically raping a woman, and then commit murder to cover it up? He'd be like, I would never do that. I'm a moral person. I'm a whatever. But we all... The point is, even the people that God glorifies have this stuff. I mean, even if you think you're leading a perfect life, you're not. Mm. I mean, that's the whole point. It's impossible. So if you, O Lord, kept a record of wrongs, who could stand? And here's why it just impacted me so hard. And this is not planned, and they don't know it's coming, but I thought of Elijah. E.G., sitting right here. I thought of Elijah, thinking about everything you've been through in the past few years. And that the forgiveness that just flows out of you and the way you treat people and the forgiveness that flows out of you through the worst part of your life and you were wronged and you were beaten down and you don't show it. And it was just like, I know we brought it up a few times on the show and we should, but we need to celebrate this stuff. It's like the absolute forgiveness and Christ-likeness that you've shown over the last couple of years is just absolutely mind-blowing, and I just wanted to say thank you. But I mean that whole sermon just hit me hard about
it. Before you thank you, but I have a lot of good people around me that help keep me grounded. But it's funny that you should bring all of that up, because to start the week, like, how did we start the week in church when I opened up? What was the last thing I said came to me as I was cleaning? When I opened up, I said, I said, I said forgive and learn to be forgiven. Or learn to be forgiven and forgive. Like that was the last thing I said. And hosting the church, because that is, it's important. It's important when you wanna, when you're trying to be Christ-like, it is important. Same thing you said, like the whole he without sin, you know, cast the first stone, and what you said, like stand, like it all goes hand in hand. It does.
You know, it's interesting when you were talking about David and how if you would have asked him, are you gonna, you know, commit adultery and then kill somebody to cover them? I spoke to the teens this week about not being a super Christian, right? And what exactly does that mean, not to be a super Christian? I gave them the example of Peter, right? Right after the Lord's Last Supper, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was letting him know what was about to happen, and that a lot of them are going to be, you know. And Peter was like, I would never deny you.
Yeah.
I would die for you, right? And then you know, the story goes where you know, him and Jesus make up. Jesus forgave him, which has to do with what you talked about. And I told the kids, I'm like, you know, when Peter was telling Christ that he would die for him, he was being a super Christian. He was like, you know, it's so easy when you're in church and when you're around, like in camp, and you're like, ah, oh, praise Jesus, I love God, right? And then when you're put into a situation where it's uncomfortable, when you're in school and you're like, ah, oh, you went to that Christian camp, didn't you? And then you're like, well, my parents made me go to it, right? Mm. And so don't be a super Christian. Be a Christian and be obedient to God's word. You know, and the interesting about it, the cool thing about that whole story with Peter is that, you know, he denied him, and then they made up, Jesus forgave him, and then when Jesus left and brought the helper, brought the Holy Spirit, right, Peter went out there and started preaching to these same people that he was saying, no, that I'm not with Jesus. He was proclaiming the gospel and preaching because he was the name of the series was called Plugged In, because he was plugged into Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And we're plugged into Jesus. He's able to really use us, and we're able to really be the Christians we're supposed to be. But a lot of us are always like, yeah, praise Jesus, I love Jesus, this and that, when you're in the environment that allows you to do something like that. But then when you go somewhere else, you're like, yeah, I just go on Sundays. It's no big deal. But it reminded me of that, because what you said, you know, the same thing with David. If you would have asked him, he would have been like, no, I would never do that. I love my God, not Jesus. Jesus wasn't, you know. But that's a lot of times we get stuck in this, you know, super Christian mode, and then when we're out in the real world, it's like we're a different person. Hmm. It really touched them, man. It was quite an impactful weekend.
Did you have any
They were all taller than me.
Speaking of which, it's so funny. I'm gonna say it. I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. When we were up front ready to pray before service, right? Claire, your wife.
Is that when she said she's glad that Tom's not there?
She was standing on the step, the ledge above the you know, where all of us was, and I was like, oh, check you out. You want to be higher than everybody, so we got to look up to you. She said, no, it's just a habit. She said, Tom usually just stands up here so he can be eye level with everybody.
It really is. Oh yeah, she's not. Kidding. And man. I tell you should come join us with that leadership. I stand there so I can talk everybody eye to eye. It's not that look at me, I'm the great, but when I'm there, I'm able to look at everybody. Well, still a little look up, still a little bit.
That was so funny.
Sean, did you was there a good chaplain at the jail, or did you fill in, or?
I tried. I just kept talking, and then the batons came out, and that was the end of that.
Yeah.
Praise God. You with the video I sent last night to you guys. I've actually watched that video about 20 times this week.
Which one? I'm trying to remember.
The one with the guy we're about talking about, the thief on the cross.
That was good. I was half asleep when I watched it. That was who was that?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out. He's definitely somebody, you know, who was famous, I guess, for doing preaching. But did you guys see it?
I did not.
It's like Scottish or English or something.
Yeah, so he's basically Irish? Like, you know, the second thief on the cross shows up at heaven, and the angel at the gate's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I don't know.
He's like, when the preacher goes, when I get to heaven, that's the guy I want to find because I got to ask him what his story was.
I didn't see the video, but I've seen that video.
I've never seen it. That was really good.
And it was, John, I'll send you the video later on.
Was that the one where he's like, you never got baptized? You never did.
He's like, I have to get my supervisor, my angel supervisor. Yeah. He goes, let's talk about the doctrine of justification by by faith.
Yeah.
He's like, never heard of it. He's like, let's talk about the doctrine of scripture. And he's like, just looks at him funny. And then he goes, so why are you here?
I don't know.
He goes, I don't know. But the guy on that in that middle cross told me to come.
I saw that.
And he goes, that's the only answer. And it struck me so hard this week. I watched that video over and over again, and I was like, you know, I got to share this with the guys. And I think it's just it's that time. We're coming up on Easterns. I think that's when you see these things. They make more sense. But just, you know, for everything that I had gone through for the last few months and stuff, just to know that, you know, we're here just because – Jesus said, come.
Yeah.
Didn't give you a reason. It didn't matter what you've done. Didn't matter what who you've hurt. Didn't matter how much you hate yourself, how much you love yourself. He just says, come. And all you do is show up.
I think we overcomplicate the gospel a lot. And we get stuck in what we were talking about pre-show, about Calvinism and all, you know, whatever. I think the gospel is easily summed up by love each other.
Love each other. When you went to that other church, to Pastor Powell's church,
yeah,
that was, and you were sleeping, so you probably didn't hear it. But that was the end of my sermon. You know, people come into this church, and we're always like, when we talk to people, we're like, oh, our church is so great. We do all this stuff, they're not looking for a lecture.
Yeah,
they're looking for you to just love them. Right now, they're drowning. They just want you to pull them out of the water right now. You know, we're always so quick on, oh, Jesus died for us. That's not even the gospel. Jesus was preaching the gospel 3 years before he even died.
If whatever you're doing makes you love each other more, that's the gospel. You know, if you're preaching the gospel in a way that's divisive, or that's hurting people, or wanting to segregate people, or push people out, that's not the gospel. And actually, the sermon I just listened to about forgiveness, there's been a couple people I've been harboring some ill will towards. And I just, when I heard that, and I thought about Elijah and what happened to him, and the fact that he shows so much forgiveness that he wants to, he's praying for those who persecute him, literally.
Yeah.
And I'm going, if God keeps a record of what I believe to be a moralistic life, and, you know, justify myself through my actions and through my intellect, I'm like, but I can't get rid of, you know, some anger in my life and some harbor. I was like, who am I? But the gospel tells us that he'd already paid the price. That as Sean said, all he said is to come. We make it a little too complicated sometimes.
Amen.
Yeah.
If it ain't about love and acceptance, it ain't for me.
It's that simple. Love and acceptance.
Do you need pants, Sean?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Do you have pants on under the jumpsuit, or do they take them away? I don't know what's about to happen. Do we have a sensor bar?
I got to get back before they notice, before head count. So.
Oh, you're going back before lights out?
Yeah, I got to get back.
You just want the pudding.
It's good.
Is it Jell-O night or pudding night?
It's always pudding night.
That's fantastic.
I instituted that when I got there.
Oh, you made some changes. He made some changes. They voted him.
Everywhere.
He's like Jack Nicholson. One flew over the cuckoo's nest.
All right, now I'm ready to get back. I gotta put my jewelry back on.
You're just gonna. All right. Well.
There's the one we speak of that makes the pastors look bad by catching the ball.
It wasn't that hard to make the pastor look bad, was it? I know.
That was a phenomenal catch.
You guys were out there. They were like, hey, whose little brother is that? It was Pastor Tom.
All right, let's pray and get out of here.
Father God, we thank you for bringing us back together again, doing that which we love and that you love to have us do. For whatever reason, you think we're funny, and you keep bringing us back together. So we thank you for that. This week, I want to pray for my brother Mike Molando and everything he's going through, Lord, for healing, for health. Just be with him. Bring him a sense of peace. Bring him a sense of joy, Lord. Be with him through everything he's going through. For our sister Betty, Lord, for healing. You know what she said. You know what's going on, Lord. Just stand beside her. Put your healing hands upon her. Bring in the peace and joy that only you can bring, Lord. Show her that you are the Lord of healing, the Lord of peace, the Lord of joy. And so to know that she is loved and everybody is praying for her, and we are with her. We're standing there. For Randy and his family and everything they're going through, Lord, you know what it is. You know the best way to handle it. So, Lord, continue to on that path with them. For my brothers and my sister here in this studio right now, Lord, would you continue to bring peace and joy to their lives? Would you continue to bring success in a way that you see fit, not how we see fit in life, but the success that you need them to do for you, Lord? Bring that upon their lives, Lord. I ask that. For Brother John, Lord, you know what he's going through. He's hurting, and I just let him know that after the darkness comes peace and joy. So, Lord, help him through this time and what he's going through, Lord. Stand there with him. Hold his hand. Bring him through it. Just let him know you're there, Lord. He needs some comfort, and bring him through that. Lord, this is a prayer for me as well as everybody that's listening right now. Lord, I want to live a life more like you. Amen. And a lot less like me. We live a life that's complicated. We live a life that's hard. We live a life that's chaotic. We live a life of lust and lies and everything else, Lord, and it's not supposed to be that complicated, Lord. Lord, remind us, this life, you gave us one shot at it. We get one attempt. You gave us the blueprint. You gave us the playbook. It's not like we don't know how to live it, Lord, but a lot of times we forget because there's so many shiny things in the world. There's so many things to distract, so many things to draw the attention. But Lord, it's the man on the middle cross that asked me to come. That asked us to come. Jesus. Follow me. Lord, that's my prayer for myself, for everybody in this room, for everybody across the world. Just hear those words. Come. Follow me. If we lived a little more love and acceptance and a little less jealousy and hatred, how much better could this world be? How much more simple, how much more peace, how much more joy, how much more like your plan would this world look if we lived a little more like you and a little less like us? I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, folks. Love and be and more love and more acceptance. Just listening to Sean pray, I have to brag on my daughter, my six-year-old, because we would start our prayers out, and there was things that she would pray for, and I used to laugh to myself and be like, you know, oh, she's six. Like, you know, what does she know? She's just praying, just saying stuff. And the more she prayed, with every night that passed, the prayers started to sound more like she knew what she was talking about. When you hear a six-year-old say, I pray that everyone who don't know you, Jesus, come to know you. I pray that everybody in the world is happy and they come to you. She prays for her brother. She prays for her mother. She prays for her sister. She prays for daddy. And now her prayers are more about everything and everybody else but her. That means, to me, she's being brought up around the right people and in the right environment. But I just had to share that because I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm appreciative. And, yes, I'm a Christian. I don't live the most perfect life. I sin every day. But I know who my Lord and Savior is, and I know who to turn to when I need him. So – if you're watching this, push the like button. Make sure you share it. Watch us on YouTube, Podcast Addict, Spotify, Apple. Where else are we on live? We're on YouTube live as well,
too. We're on right? everything.
We're on everything. Just check us out, Prodigal Sons. Share us. Tell everybody about us. Listen to us now. Listen to us later. Listen to us again, 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 and again. Because today's show might have been a fun show, but the things we have to talk about are serious, are important, and that we could all learn from them. So thank you for watching episode 128. Have a good night.
Hey, John, I'm going to get in touch with you right after the show. I'm going to give you a call on my way home, all right?
Yes.
Love you guys. Have a great week.
Love you all. See you next week. If I can get on good behavior.